It's time for Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Ahoy hoy.
And me, Brian. Let's start with Dragon Ball Super.
Be amazed. Be on again, off again.
Be amazed, Universe 6. This is Super Saiyan Son Goku. And the battle starts. We've got our first tournament fight. It's Son Goku versus the bear guy.
Winnie the Pooh. Tamo.
That's him, yes.
Well, initially I was thinking Winnie the Pooh, but I think he might have more to do with, what were those guys, gummy bears?
Yeah, he looks a bit like the Haribo golden bear.
No, I mean the Disney guys used to bounce around on their butts.
Those two.
Yeah. But he does definitely look like the Haribo guy, yeah.
I also was thinking Hart from Fist of the North Star because he's so fat you can't hurt him.
Yeah, that's a standard trope.
I was thinking he also might be Winnie the Boo.
That, you could be entirely right because Boo is a fucking Disney reference as well, isn't he?
Yes, he is, yeah. So his amazing power is that no matter how much you punch him, it doesn't hurt because apparently he takes that kinetic energy and fires it off into another dimension.
Where he's like, oh my god, he turns energy directed against him into another dimension. And Bulma's like, really? And I was, he's like, probably, I don't know. It's just like, I don't fucking know, I'm not from that universe.
So of course, Goku just punches and punches and punches and punches. He can also fire energy beams out as well.
Out of his mouth?
Yes.
Which is the best place.
Yeah.
And when Goku fires a Kamehameha, Champa complains that that's cheating.
No projectile as a weapon.
No projectile. Your guy was using blasters.
And the referee has to explain. It's like, no, it's like bodily energy. It's ki. It's from his body, so it's technically legal. Like.
I do like there's the referee right in the ring, right up close to the action.
Yeah, the referee like is constantly having to duck shit and everything. The poor bastard. He's going to get taken out, isn't he?
Maybe he's the real strongest from the universe.
He'd have to be to referee that match.
And I was pleased. As I was watching this, I was like, you're going to have to throw him. And then as soon as I thought that, like seconds later, Goku also thought that.
Mm-hmm. He's not as entirely stupid as he
is. And it's not so much a throw, really, as he just picks him up by the legs and drags him out the ring.
Yeah, he realizes, like, oh, you're so strong, you haven't had to train. That's why you're so fat. So I'm just going to drag your fat ass to the edge of the ring.
he can't get back up there. He's trying to spit energy at him, but he's missing. He's like, ah! He's kind of like a turtle that fell back on its shell.
Yeah, his shape isn't really helping him out there.
And so Goku wins the first round. Barely half the episode's passed.
I know, right? What the hell is happening?
I could be like a record for Dragon Ball.
No. There's two matches in this episode, dude. Mm. That's a crazy high record.
Hunter, eat your heart out. Wow.
And then we get to meet our new hero, Frost.
Oh, champion of the children. Yes. We love Frost. He's great.
Friend of the people.
He's like Frieza, but he's not a massive pervert because he wears pants everywhere.
Yes, Universe 6's version of Frieza is Frost, who is who's agreed to help out, agreed to this fight because Champa, if he wins, Champa will assist him in bringing peace to the universe.
Bringing peace to his planet,
his planet, yeah.
And he's like part of a peacekeeping force, completely opposite of the Frieza fucking invade the planet and take it over force.
But it's the same guy doing the voice.
Yeah, it's the same guy. I love the scene where he comes out and everyone's like, oh shit, it's Frieza. And he goes like, hello everyone, I'd like you to enjoy the match today. He's like the nicest dude.
How do you do?
They shake hands before it.
I thought he was like, is he going to squeeze his hand? He's like, no, it's like, oh, pleasure to meet you. It'll be a super fun fight.
But the crux of this fight is Goku saying, come on, don't use that form. I know you've got other forms. So he goes in the assault form. And then Goku's like, come on, I know you've got another form.
Come on, let's get to the real shit. I don't have time to wait for you to build up. I might beat you in the meantime, and I don't want that.
He gives him a good enough run for his money, in the kind of the big head, kind of spiky mode.
Assault mode, don't they call it?
Yeah.
The small guy, isn't it?
Oh yeah, small one mode. Yeah, and then he turns the small guy.
He's like, I'm not tough enough to beat you. I'll have to use my speed. And he's like, just get stronger. Turn into a big fucking alien, dude.
And of course, he's doing the same thing to Goku. He's like, so I didn't want to hurt you. That's why I've not gone into this form. But Goku is saying, oh, you got to go your final, show your final form to bet it's an honourable fight. He's not going into his final form.
Yeah. I'll show you, like, you know, step one. Yeah, got me. Got gold hair and blue eyes now. So let's see yours.
So that combined with the fact that this guy is super, super nice, and it kind of draws in on the fact that maybe Universe 7 is the evil universe.
Universe 7, regular Dragon Ball universe, is the worst of all possible realities.
And the fact that Krillin and Bulma start cheering for Frost.
Yeah, it's like, he's such a nice dude. It's like, well, we should probably cheer for him. He's all right. He's a cool dude. Right, so the guys in Universe 6, well, I don't know what the bear's problem was, but, you know, he's a bear. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But Frost is like, I'm doing this to help my people, right? And then what's Goku doing it for?
It's because he just wants some more people to fight.
Yeah. And if they win, freaking your man gets the Dragon Ball or the Super Dragon Ball and possibly is going to wish the entire universe is destroyed. So it's like you're working for the bad guy, Goku. Pay attention. But even Beerus, who's like, it's like, wait, so if he loses, like, we're not going to help him out. And Yuan's like, oh, no, we're not going to help him out. We promised we'd help him if he wins. And he's like, that's not very nice.
Yes.
Champa, not Beerus. Yeah. Champa.
Champa is nicer than Beerus, quite clearly at this point.
Their god of destruction is shit. He's overweight. He's not very good at destroying things. Like, the worst thing about Universe 6 is Earth is destroyed. And I'm beginning to think of that cause, that's because Earth sucks.
Yeah.
Earth is filled with bad guys. Red Ribbon Army and all that shit, you know?
When it made, like, Cell androids and things who were sort of threats to all of existence. Probably.
Earth's a real shithole in the Dragon Ball universe.
It gets kind of sad, like, you know, because, like, you know, it's like, okay, this is my final form. I'm going to take him on now, Goku. And he just, like, he can't, like, land a hit on him at all. He just keeps getting the shit knocked out of him. And it's kind of sad. It's like, oh, my God, just please. But he's got to keep going. He's got to keep going for the children. It's like, oh, man, this guy, he doesn't know when to give up. He really should. But please, oh, Goku, stop. He's already dead. Just stop.
I did like the thing of Goku's like, listen, dude, I don't want to fucking kill you, so you might as well give up. And it's just like, yeah, I think our fucking guys are the bad guys. And the more I think about it, the more I see it through the lens of, yeah, regular Dragon Ball universe sucks. Like, the most famous, like, Namekin is, like, Piccolo. And he's a bad dude. And most other Namekins are peaceful. And they got their planet blown up because of that. I'm just like, yeah, this universe sucks.
Yeah. And we also get the other key thing is Kaba sees Goku go Super Saiyan.
He's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, Chappa's like, you're a Saiyan, can you do that? He goes, I've never seen that before.
Never heard of that. I'm dreading when he has to fight, because he's like a small child. He's going to get his head driven into the canvas.
So he doesn't have a tail, right? Because I figured, oh, his thing must be he turns into a monkey. But no, I was like, oh, man, he doesn't have a tail. So I'm not exactly sure what the fuck he's going to do. He's a skinny little kid.
But weirdly, Goku loses. He just collapses.
Did he throw the fight because he's the bad guy? That's the only possible thing I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think there's something else going on. We still don't know anything much about the guy who looks like a penis and the robot.
You're just going to keep going on penis guy.
I am, yes.
Yeah, that's fair. this episode was really good. A lot going on in it. Also great shots of, you know, the press conferences with Frieza where he's holding the children up. Yay!
Yeah.
I've freed you from tyranny. Sorry, I was going to say cooler. God damn it.
Frost.
Frost. Yes.
Frost. Fridge.
Something gold.
Yeah. The ending felt a bit weakly directed. You couldn't really tell what was going on. It was like there was no even a hint as to what would happen to Goku.
Yeah, I'm wondering, was that nearly on purpose to go like, it was like, wait, so he blocked the punch and then he fell over? That seems...
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we get Piccolo flying next.
Yeah. Hooray!
He's running around charging up a special beam cannon.
Yes!
I did like Goku in the preview going like, oh, it's that attack! That killed me. Yeah, look, all our heroes have murdered each other at some point.
Yeah, it's like, no wonder Krillin's gonna cheer for Frost.
Yeah, he was a bit nervous about the whole thing. He's like, I don't know, that fucking guy killed me. And yeah, he ends up cheering for him.
It's even funnier, of course, when Bulma does it. Because she tells him off, and then moments later, she's cheering him as well.
Yeah, they're rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, man, this is just so much better. So much better show now.
Yeah.
And I thought it would slow down when it got to the tournament arc. Apparently it got fucking great. Bizarre.
Right. Lovely Muko. This week's episode was called... What was it called? Let me see.
Here I love fireworks.
That's it, yes. More dog scaring fireworks. And child endangerment. Well, they stop her from setting fire to her head.
But, yeah. Did the kid actually end up doing that? Because I assume that's a thing that's happened several times.
I think more importantly, it stopped her from infringing on copyright.
Oh, that's true as well, yeah. That was probably more important.
Yes, they got fireworks out. But more importantly, at the very end of the episode, we get a flashback.
Oh!
To Komatsu,
some fucking drama.
And
yeah.
Ushiko as teenagers.
That was it, Ushiko?
Yes.
Yeah. It says that.
Was some guy.
No, he's got the mole. He's got the beauty spot.
And he calls him by name, so.
That as well, that's the other clue.
Wait, sorry. Are you saying that's the vet?
No, that's...
his friend.
Yes.
His
fat guy,
yes.
Okay. Does he have a mole?
He does, yes.
I'm distracted by his jumpers, it must be.
Okay, get a marker and, you know, just bring up, like, the episode and just, like, get a dark marker and just kind of draw the shades over the guy's face and it'll all come to clarity.
Okay.
Also, you may ruin your monitor by doing that, but hey, the only way you'll learn.
Sorry, I thought that was a completely different guy. I picked that up wrong.
Yeah, that was the sort of reminder that this comic runs in a seinen magazine. It's like,
yeah, it's about the only thing that's been like that so far.
This will make you feel nostalgic about your high school days.
Well, even fucking your man, he wasn't even nostalgic for his high school days back in high school. He's just like, yeah, I guess I'll just give up baseball. Fuck it.
Yeah, I always thought, because that hit like such a weird nostalgic sweet spot that he'd never gone for before. I was like, wow, is this ending on episode 21?
It's like, yes, and now I live with a shitty dog making glass in the countryside, which I hate.
But now we're going to get some more flashbacks next week.
Okay.
Good. I hope you get more strange animation, because I was like laughing out loud at a lot of things in this episode, more so than usual for Lovely Muko. I did a little kind of small thing like throughout, like in the back garden, and Reina like, you know, wants to, like, you know, like, get better running for her preschool,
yes.
Like track meet. Just running around there. And, I chasing Muko, and then, like, you know, racing Muko. And then, like, you know, Komatsu gives Reina some advice to, like, improve her form, and she suddenly comes back very, very good. And then it's like, and Muko's like, Komatsu, teach Muko how to run good as well. And then there's that little, like,
all those little vignette bits,
vignette thing, where it's like Muko up on two legs, like, running. It looks really creepy, but also really funny.
Yeah, you shouldn't put a dog model running on two legs. It looks really weird.
that's the advantage of doing it in 3D CG.
That's true. It does save you a lot. You can just do weird shit. You can have Ushiko run around on all fours if you feel like it.
Next week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's still good stuff. And I say that, it was touching. This is a sort of, we need Anthony here, because this was the sort of thing he'd be gushing over at the end of that episode. I can't do it justice. We need Anthony here to gush.
Him and his emotions.
I know. He already loves Muko so much. I'm sure he's getting the touching story of their friendship. We'll just add to that. I assume Dwayne was unimpressed as usual.
I mean, like, you know, I just watch it during dinner, so I don't have to pay much attention.
You're enriching your life with this, like, touching, heartfelt tale of bygone ambition.
Just wait till we get to a raised, I'll be like,
yeah, yeah.
On that side of the fence.
The tables will turn then, yes. So that's the way it
was. Mr. Osabatsu, episode 21, was Mahjong and Godmatsu. In the first half, we see the various brothers' playing styles.
Yep. I was thinking,
it's really
like,
nice, like, the analysis of, like, oh, this is his playing style, but they all suck, so I don't know who wins.
It was perfect for me, because I was thinking, like, okay, they're playing late at night on a rainstorm, playing Mahjong. This has got to be some kind of Akagi homage. And it was!
It wasn't even disguising that. One of the... it's Omatsu who turns into him at one point, isn't it?
Yes,
he does.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it nailed like over analysis. It's like, okay, he's like scared of that tile, so the tile could be safe. It must be a bluff. He's playing that tile. The over analysis and then like no,
yeah.
It isn't like no anything kind of like strategy. It's literally one saying he could make literally any move.
And I have to say, I did relate again, relating to Osamatsu with his very impatient style of playing a game.
Dear.
There's a lot of little touches. You got like one Karamatsu in the back. He's like the hard bitten like Yakuza gangster guy, just like watching and surveying and commenting and all the proceedings. I know he's smoking that cigarette. He's just hanging it in his mouth. It could be like a candy cigarette, probably. Knowing him, it probably is.
And then in the second half, apparently all their bad deeds over the past 20 episodes has caused a little bit of good to fall off them throughout, and that good has coalesced into a seventh brother, Kamimatsu, or Godmatsu.
For ages, only Jushi Matsu sees, and I was like, is this just in his head or something?
Did you notice there were seven brothers right at the start, or did it take you a few...
The second
it felt
time.
Like something was off.
Yes.
And I was like, well, hold on a sec, you know, but and then as soon as like the... I saw the lobed ears, and I was like, oh, I see what they're doing.
The Buddha is among us.
Yeah, I did like just how long it took for the rest of the brothers to notice.
So, yeah, and I did like the flashbacks to all of them. Well, a lot of episodes of them just being massive shits, really.
A little bit of fairy dust in every one.
And as those good parts of you died, I was born.
And he's a perfect son. He's the son that, you know, that his parents don't remember, like, you know, conceiving and giving birth to, but, you know, they're glad he's here now.
Yeah, I initially liked the thing. I was like, and this is where our hell began. And it was like, because initially he's just like making their lives considerably better.
Yes.
He gave Osamatsu a winning ticket to the horse races. What was it? Ishimatsu, he just gave him loads of cats.
Yes.
Because that's what he wants.
He's playing baseball with Juicy Matsu.
Yeah.
VIP meet and greet ticket for Choro Matsu.
Of course.
it's a ridiculously well attended mixer for Todo Matsu.
Yeah, including a blow up doll.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And he's the only man there as well. So.
Yeah. So he's
got his pick of. But yes, they just can't. They can't abide people being nice to them, and so they plan to kill him. And of course, that makes him more powerful because more of their goodness falls
drained
off.
Out. Yeah,
yes.
He only got taller and handsomer, I think.
Yes, and he gets a bowl cut.
What is that cool? Or I mean, like, maybe it's better than their haircut.
It's a different haircut, I suppose, to a different
right. Okay.
And also, like, no, Totoko finds him attractive.
Yes, to the point where apparently they just start having sex in the street outside the house.
Oh, dear.
Which then causes the evil of the brothers to coalesce into a evil Matsu.
It was Onimatsu, wasn't it?
I think it might be Akumatsu.
Akumatsu.
Okay, yeah.
Who then kills Godmatsu? The end.
Because, I mean, like, they had to kind of stick that ending in at the end. Because, like, wait, what the fuck do we do with this now? And then he died. Okay, excellent.
It's like, oh, never underestimate the power of evil. And they just, like, this dark shadow just drains back into their lifeless forms and they come back to
when
life.
When you have need of me again, call and I shall return. And it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah, good episode. Last week's was better, but I enjoyed this one.
I enjoyed the Mahjong a bit better, but yeah.
What was last week's one again?
Last week's one was Teller's Hatabo, School of Yami's School of Comedy.
Yeah, that was.
There was a lot going on in that short, yeah.
But yeah, good stuff as normal. Let's go with a raise. Someone else can describe this because I'm checking out at this point. I'm giving up on this show.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just like, it's the teacher. Come on, skip to the end.
Yeah. It is.
That seems to be likely. And if it's not him, then they're definitely pointing like a lot of fucking red herrings at him, you know?
There's no other suspects left.
Unless it's guys we haven't seen.
Yeah, no, this by episode 9, that'd be cheating.
Yeah, how long is this supposed to run out for? Because I don't think this is going to like wrap up satisfactorily in the remaining 3 or 4 episodes. Is it going to go longer?
Oh, I think it will. I think it will wrap up in those episodes.
I don't know. It feels like, okay, we've resolved the situation with Kyle, and she's going to live with her grandmother in another town. She's safe from her
abuse. Yeah, you could basically watch the first half of this episode and then go, and then everyone lived happily ever after. And then you just stop watching the show, because I'm worried things are going to go down the shitter now, considering they gave a happy ending to her.
Yeah, it seems more like one down, two to go. This long to try and and cover this in.
I suppose they just have them interrupt something in the next with the next murder, so that murder doesn't happen.
Now the murderer is on you, and it's more. Yeah. The kind of pace increases considerably from what they had been working with. Yeah, that's about the only way I could figure it.
But I will say the problem I got with this show is it's only good when the episode is really well directed. And I don't think this one was.
That's fair. I think because this one was doing about closures and stuff, they didn't need that kind of that tension and pace in it. It's again got a different thing going for it. But yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. It's trying to do a different thing in this one. Basically, this one is like, okay, that plot is resolved. It's over, put a pin in it, we're good, and now moving on to the next bit, you know, which isn't exactly the most exciting thing to watch.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit much, just like, you know, like they've lured Kai's mother out now, and then I trial services are here, and we see you, like, brandishing a shovel against your neighbors, you're trying to hit him with it.
Yeah. Also, we brought your mother.
It's like
mother.
No. It's like, well, I guess that like makes Jeremy sense, Kyle or something. Like,
that's what I was about to say. I was going to go Jerry Springer because I'm older. but yeah, you're right. That is what it felt like.
Yeah, I guess that was again to just give that closure and just like, yeah, she's going to live with her grandmother now. Everything's okay. It was just like, we need to wrap this bit up. Maybe they're trying to rush this bit because it's kind of like, we need to wrap this up so we can cover what we need to cover in the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, which I don't really understand, because I've heard that the manga is
ongoing,
finishing very soon, or is already finished up. So they kind of know how it's going to play out. Like, it was kind of being done semi concurrently, like with this.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the if there is like a big rush to what it was for, or maybe they could have come to this point sooner and left enough space for, you know, to carry the remainder of the story. Because it was nice to give the thing with Kaio, you know, and, you know, her, getting her to kind of come off her shell, you know, and showing her, you know, like, you know, showing her, like, what's like a decent friend and, like, you know, what can I have some kind of like, empathy and kindness can do. And that's very, very touching.
Yeah.
But if you like, you know, they might have, like, balanced it all too much on that end, and now it's going to be like
thin on the other side.
As effective then for the rest.
Ah, there's a live action version coming out on March 19th.
Like a film or a series?
Movie.
Right. Okay.
And this wraps up in 3 weeks. There's 3 episodes left.
3 episodes.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. Unless things kind of come to a head, like with this is up. The killer's plans or whatever, or sorry, kidnapper's plans. Well, I guess he's a killer as well. But, I can't really see it wrapping up neatly by then.
I don't think, because we've not really met the other 2 victims, I think they're just.
We're not going to get into as much detail with them.
Yeah, okay. To get us to who the murderer is.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And also, having now seen there's going to get a movie adaptation, I was thinking it would probably work better a movie length rather than a TV series length.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like the pace.
Oh, I hated the pace. It was too slow for my tastes.
I kind of like the slow burners. I mean, like, it's not monster levels, so I figured you'd be able to... I figured you'd like it more, but, yeah. What can you do? Yeah, I like this one a lot. I liked his child investigations where he's following the girl around. And it's like really badly hiding behind poles and stuff, you know. And Junior his mom's coming along. He's like, hey, help me with shopping.
Junior Boy Investigation Club.
Woo. It's kind of like what Detective Conan would actually be like. You know, I did like some of the character moments as well in this one of like your man going, is like, so you think it's like a serial kidnapper? He's like, yeah, I know I have no evidence to support that theory, but he's like, ah, fuck it, I'll help you. You know, because we're mates. Also, the other two kids are jealous. They have secret murder stoppers club. Yeah. The other two friends.
And then and then the girl, they just got cussed out in the middle of classes, like, you know, probably going to tell them or something like that.
What was the deal with that last shot? I didn't quite get what they were going. Is that a new character?
She's probably going to tell the teacher what's happening. And you know, it's just fun. These bad boys are doing bad things. They're being mean to me. And then we'll sort them out. Because I noticed, like, Satoru, like regularly kind of meets the teacher, like, you know, saying, okay, I gotta tell him what's going on, what's going on with Kaio, and that, like, I think one saying, oh, good job, you know, Satoru, you know, you really helped, like, Kaio out there, and now she'll be safe with her grandmother and her mother will get the help that she needs. By the way, where did you hide Kaio all this time? hit her in a school bus, and it was school bus hockey community. Oh, very interesting, yes.
Yeah, like, that was definitely one of the red herrings. Yeah. If it's not him, then that's definitely one of the things, if not the fucking car ride later, that's pointing towards him as a, like, the main suspect. I'm nearly thinking they're trying to throw, like, a double bind. Like, they're throwing so much things at him, like that question and the car ride, that it's, I'm thinking, like, are they trying to just make me think that it's him when it isn't?
I wonder whether there's a clue we don't get culturally of that badge we saw the murderer wear in 2006 when he came back.
Right.
Whether that's a thing that if you're in Japan, you'd know, oh, that's a badge associated with this profession. Therefore, that might make him more of a suspect earlier on.
Like, if it was, this is like the teacher's body of Japan fucking badge or something like that. So it's like, it's totally the teacher.
Because in the modern day, you know, there's the, you know, suspicious, shady, whose face you haven't properly seen yet, like,
it's a guy, definitely.
What's his name? The superintendent or whatever of the district, you know, and.
Yeah, that sounds like.
A teacher will probably get promoted at some point, and who's the only teacher we've seen is this guy, so.
He's pretty much the only teacher we've had, like, regular dealings with, I think.
He's literally the only suspect left. Unless it turns out...
Well, him and the kid.
That's true.
the blonde kid, I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, but we've seen the murderer's shoes.
Maybe again, it was them on each other's shoulders, little rascal style.
I don't know if they wore sneakers for sneaking.
what's the guy in BoJack Horseman, the three kids?
Oh, Vincent Adult Man.
Yes.
I need to go to the office and make some stocks.
I'm not sure it could still be
another time traveler or an alien.
It better not be another time traveler. I think that would be an alien. I'd be fine with more than another time traveler. I don't know. I'm still enjoying the show. I'm still liking the little character moments and the interactions and stuff. I hope it kind of wraps it up nicely, but yeah, fuck. It's got quite a lot.
It's like, how could it be another time traveler unless his powers works like, oh no, there's a child who's not been murdered. I better travel back in time and murder them.
It's me from a different timeline, from the Universe 6 timeline where I'm a bad guy.
One thing I did like about the whole, we have your estranged mother brought in when they, I guess not really arrest your one, but like take Kaio away. A thing I did like is the fact that her daughter was just like, yeah, these are just fucking, it's like, oh no, she was abused. And it's like, that is awful. But then she beat the shit out of her kid. It's like, yeah, fuck her. These are nearly fucking crocodile tears kind of thing. And her daughter like is like, I don't give a fuck. You know, I hate my mother. She beats me up. I did kind of like that thing where it was just trying to show that Kaio and your man didn't really care much for her tears over her estranged mother and that kind of thing, which is, you know, that's good. Cynical, but good.
All right. Is that erased? Taken care of? Again, I'm not sure I'll even watch it next week. I'll probably watch the start and the end.
That seems to get you through it.
It will, yeah. It's like, I'll see how the cliffhanger resolved, and I see what the next week's cliffhanger is. I think that's probably will do me.
there's someone out the window going,
there's a show on Crunchyroll now that is people watching Erased or something.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm one of those kind of. I know.
Is that like the podcast about the serial podcast?
I meant to watch it for this, but I've actually forgotten in the end. See if it's any. Is it actually analysis or is it just people going like, oh my God?
I've no idea.
I don't care.
Okay.
They should ask us to do a Concrete Revolution one, but hey, they don't have Concrete Revolution. Daisuke should ask us to do a Concrete Revolution.
Okay.
Oji-san and Marshmallow. This was the worst episode of Oji-san and Marshmallow so far.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to remember the deal of it.
Well, I think you were right. The brother does have some sort of sister complex.
It's, oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay. It comes straight to the fore in this thing.
Says,
she should go out with a hot guy like me.
Yes. Isn't it? Yeah, something like that.
You.
Yeah. It's kind of like, no. That's not something you're supposed to think about siblings. Come on.
Miyoko sort of presses him for information, sort of say, oh, I'll split those two up. Then you don't have to worry about this old man going after your sister. And she learns that...
She doesn't like being called normal?
Yes, Wakabayashi doesn't like being called normal. And so
she doesn't like the use of the word normal repeatedly.
She calls her normal lots and lots and lots. Apparently, Miyoko and Hige are going to go to this amusement park because they're going to design a new mascot for it.
Mm.
But then Wakabayashi gets her revenge once she finds out what her brother did by finding out Miyoko's real age.
She's actually 30, not 25, like her Facebook profile says.
Yes.
And it's like, so, yeah, that's... I mean, like, that's not... It's like, oh, no! That's...
It is in Japan.
I guess that's a bad thing, but I don't know.
Japan is still, like, firmly, like, in the... When,
yes. Yeah, but that dude's, like, 40 or something.
They're still in the 19th century in regards to when a woman should be married by. Like, you know, there's an awful thing where they refer to, like, a woman of... wasn't married by a certain age, a Christmas cake, because you can't sit on past 25th.
But she's not embarrassed that Hige will find out. She's embarrassed that
anyone else will find out. Right.
So okay. I think that's obviously the backfire thing on that is that it's revealed that, oh, she's closer in age to Hige, so maybe they'll have more in common than her and Wakabayashi. Though, of course, she's not a neither of them are marshmallows. So
yeah, that's the problem that they both have, like. They're not literally marshmallows.
And then Wakabayashi sort of inserts herself into this trip to the amusement park, which presumably will be coming next week.
Yeah, it was more so like set up for the next one, which they could have just started with the setups.
Yes. I assume this is where that anthropomorphic marshmallow I mentioned last week is going to come into the series. Cause
it seems logical.
I guess that will be the character they designed.
Oh, and they went with my cooking recipe.
They did.
Yeah, just eat the fucking marshmallow.
Yes. And their special guest was the guy who plays Hige.
Who looks a lot cooler than Hige, I'll give him that.
Yes, but a similar girth.
Well, he's got to get that girth across in voice.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was that. It wasn't great. There's been better episodes.
Well, it's three minutes, so whether it's good or bad.
It doesn't really outstay it, yeah.
Yeah. It's better when it's focused on Hige and Wakabayashi. Not too keen on the brother and Miyoko.
The brother's weird. I mean, like, in comparison to his sister, who is very fucking weird, the brother's, like, creepy weird.
That is true. When she's annoyed, she has just written the word normal out over and over again in her room.
I thought she was trying to like make herself like inoculated to it by exposing herself to it over and over.
Could be. Could be. But that was like a weird thing. It was like,
it's still odd, yeah.
Very strange. And Seko Boys, The Forge of Vulcan. Boy, this show.
This episode's really good.
It is. I think this may be the most consistently written show we're watching.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, it has its ups and downs, but when it's good, it's very good, and it often is very good. Yeah. Again, doesn't have much time to screw up in.
That's true, yes. Mm. So, basically, Mars causes potentially has caused a scandal by sneaking in to see, what's her face? The
other idol.
The other idol who
The weird idol.
The one who dresses like a moth, as you said on last week's episode.
Mira.
That's it. Yes. Let me get the cheat sheet out.
And that was straight after their boss is saying, like, hey, aren't you overworking us a bit too much, boss? Because they were getting phone calls in. It's like, can we have the Rockies in? And thing. It's like, no, they're booked up this week, man. And she's like, no fucking scandals. We can't afford any scandals right now. We're in, like, all go. So no fucking scandals. And straight away, Maris, fuck's sake.
Yes, some art supplies. So the one thing we
knew he was in the box.
Like. Yes, because the one thing we haven't mentioned is this show, one of the sponsors and on the production committee is an art supply company.
And they do that joke a bit, yeah.
Yes, so, yeah. Well, there's the same, Holbein is the name of the art supply company, which, of course, is the agency they work for in the show.
Is it actually an art supply company, or is it an idol company?
No, it's an art supply company.
No, in the context of the show.
Is it the show?
Is it an art supply company?
That's a good question. Whether it's an art supply company who decided to turn some of their supplies into idols. I don't know.
Exactly that.
Yeah, so this terrible scandal. They get taken, a drone approaches her apartment and takes a photo of her showing Mars a beetle.
That she imported from Venezuela.
Yes.
That was fucking brilliant. So he's like, so, what did you want me up here for? And she's like, I want to show you something. She's like, hee hee hee, check it out, it's a fucking beetle. Pretty sweet, huh? It's
got your huge name. Look at it.
Yeah.
And so he gets roasted by Mickey. She's infuriated at his behaviour. Hermes and Medici are being catty, and they're like, oh, it's a good job. Giorgio's not here. He'd be absolutely ruined because he's got a crush on Mira as well.
Oh, fucking, I love that bit because I had to rewind it. I was watching it with Emily. It's like, did they just use friggin' Giorgio as a verb? And I was like, yeah, they use it as a verb to describe that face.
But it turns out...
I would have Giorgio'd had I know.
Giorgio has heard about it, and he's going to take care of this.
Take care of business.
The leader of the group. It's his duty. And so he sleeps with the journalist.
Like, she's sitting there at the bar, and some of the best animation of that dude really enjoying mixing that cocktail. Also, this is the only time I've ever seen them animated moving, because at one point, Mara sort of leans over on the side to say something in the car. But weird animation of this episode. It's good. But yeah, the one in the bar was just kind of like, maybe you could, pay the press off, or, give them a different scandal with your things, or barter for, like, an interview exclusive kind of stuff, or... Oh, you'll think of something. Leaves key down beside his drink. It's just like, oh, this is... And he's got that face the entire time, which is fucking perfect.
While this is happening, the other three are having a meal with Dandy Two Men.
That's right, they're having a barbecue or something.
The best line in this is... Dionysus pipes up, and they're like, oh, you didn't bring your head. How are you going to eat? He goes, I'll find a way.
Yeah, it keeps doing the thing of, it's just the stuff sizzling on the pen and the little speech bubbles of their heads coming in, depending on who's talking. And every time it's him, it's just a picture of like two fingers. Like, you didn't bring your body. It's like, oh, figure out how to eat. It's fine.
Oh, good. I'm drunk.
He probably was, to be fair. Yeah.
He's a god of wine, so.
Yeah.
And then thankfully I read the comments and stuck around for after the credits.
Yes, I nearly dropped out before, because they finally have like an after credits bit, which is amazing.
Yeah, where you see exactly what's happening.
Well, you see like a silhouette of the lovers in embrace, essentially. Yes.
And then you see exactly what they're doing, and it's as weird as you would expect. And this show.
It's as weird and as slightly scandalous, but entirely benign.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually like, oh, okay. Right, that's odd, but yeah. Whatever floats your boat.
I assume this must be based on things which have happened in the real idol industry.
What, people showing each other Hercules beetles?
Yeah, sure, that part, yeah, definitely.
such a strange
show.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's played so weirdly straight, and yet it's so fucking bizarre.
Yeah. And it's like, who would think of this to be a show?
Fucking genius.
And then to make it work as well.
Super genius.
Right. Lupin the Third. Is that the last thing we've got to do?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right. So this week we watched High School Undercover and Lupin's Day Off, which is episode 15 and episode 16. In episode 15, Lupin goes undercover as a school teacher.
It kind of shows how Lupin is so successful, because everyone else in the world is really fucking dumb.
And that puts
at least the regular peons,
up against four teachers at this school. He's trying to get a diamond.
The
Cleopatra's soul.
Yeah, that's it.
And these four school teachers are great. Just the character design, the animation, the performance. They're just such great characters.
The science professor really reminded me of someone, like a specific fucking actor. And
I can't think of it either.
Yeah, I'm really certain I've seen that exact character somewhere before. In that kind of the way he played it and everything. You know?
It's like the movement and also like his face as well.
Yeah, I very little doubt it's based on someone. They were really fun.
How are these guys functional human beings, much less teachers?
I can believe they're teachers quite easily.
Yeah, they might be good at their job, but at nothing else, you know?
Have you never had teachers who are just really ineffective?
Okay, we're about being a bad teacher, but like I said, these guys, I don't know how they like survive in society.
They made a bomb, which apparently requires a diamond.
Yes, what the...
The fucking reason behind that was brilliant. The professor had gone like, oh, I was going to get my wife's ring, but she said I couldn't have it. And he's like, I would have just stolen it. He's like, oh, I didn't fucking think of that. The vice principal, who's just the biggest moron. He's great.
I don't know.
It's like, wait, why do we need a diamond? It's like, oh, we need a really good insulator. It's like, there's lots of good insulators that aren't diamonds. And it's like, oh, I didn't think of that. And then Lupin at the end is like, dudes, you could have just sold the diamond to get that money you needed. And they're like, oh, shit.
Right. Diamonds are worth money and are valuable. I forgot that.
And they see the diamond is like, oh, that'll make a perfect insulator for my bomb. It's as big as your fist.
I think my favorite scene is when they've all got their weapons they're going to kill Lupin with.
That is fucking... All of them posing with their weapons that they've decided to kill Lupin with is amazing.
The music teacher with the double bass.
Yeah. That's a bass. It's and heavy.
Why does the vice principal ride that mop? There's so many questions there. It's like, you thought that'd be a good way to introduce your weapon. They're great. They're fantastic. I would watch a show about them being awful. And that's a sign of a good one-off character.
What do you think, Niall?
That's kind of up and down on this. It felt kind of weird. I kind of felt like I got something that kind of belonged in our TV series.
Yeah, it's like Lupin inserting himself into friggin'... I'm trying to think of a crappy sitcom that's based in a school. Biker Grove, I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
That's the way I felt with it. I liked a lot of the stuff with the guys as well, with Jigen looking like he's about to fucking blow Zenigata away. Run straight past him to catch Lupin. And him just shooting a flower pot onto his head. That's kind of classic stuff. Also, Zane was like, you're not going to kill me. The teacher's like, no. We're just kidnapping you for a while. Don't worry about it. And Lupin's complete disregard for how much things are worth. It's like, oh, if this keeps changing owners, it mustn't be the real thing. So I'll just throw it in the fucking ocean.
Well, I think because he thought, I think he knew it was real. He thought if he'd hung on to it, he'd stop being a thief.
Yeah. And Fujiko has the best luck.
Yes. The fact a dolphin delivers this diamond to her. And then she says, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dolphin. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty fun faffing around. I didn't enjoy it as much as the next one, which is entirely faffing around. And those are my favorite episodes.
Yes. Lupin's day off, where it is. Lupin's just trying to have a day off.
Just going to go to the sushi restaurant that they've made reservations for. And Goemon has joined them because he likes sushi.
Yes.
Right along the way, drop off a dog to a lady on a cruise ship who lost her dog, and then we'll get a big reward for it.
I was wondering, was Fujiko even going to get a reward for it? I should have just assumed her being herself, but it didn't really come into play at all. I mean, nothing of what they're doing is illegal.
This is the most straightforward thing. Let's go to the port town, we'll drop the dog off and get a reward money, and then spend the reward money and get a nice sushi dinner. Yeah. Simple.
Perfect.
Well, of course, no.
They didn't bet on Zenigata and the dog being a lesbian.
I think you can't really bet on that, yeah.
Well, this episode is like all about love. It's like it's supposed to be the day off, but the guys are hassling Lupin for saying, "If I was supposed to be our day off, then why are we like doing something for Fujiko?" Well, my love for her never takes a day off. Cue Zenigata, woo woo behind him, Lupin, I'm gonna get you. Oh, it's like his love for you doesn't take a day off either.
Yeah, that was a pretty good Deegan line. Yeah. All right,
this was the episode when combined with episode 14 is. I now think that episode 13 broke Zenigata so much
that he's
become the Zenigata of the earlier series.
That would make sense. He is acting very crazy.
Because he knows at this point that he can't bring himself to let Lupin die at all.
Well, yeah, he wants justice to be served. He doesn't want to kill a guy.
But at the same time, Lupin has mentally tortured him in that episode.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, that bit where they just walk face-to-face coming out the toilet.
That's fucking brilliant. Like, oh.
And I'm sure they've done that loads of times, but never fails. Because you weren't expecting it at that point, but...
Yeah.
Him just to walk out there.
There's a lot of great Goemon bits where he's slightly embarrassed about being about ladies. Also, they mistake the dog's name to be yes. Goemon.
And also, Goemon can't drive a car, apparently.
That was fucking brilliant. Why didn't you have him pushing the car? Because you knew him behind the wheel just doing the fucking movie thing of moving it back and forth. And it's just like, he doesn't know what he's doing. All he knows how to do is samurai. That's it.
But hey, that worked out, because when it was creeping down the hill, he was going about to fly through a billboard. He goes, "Watcha!" And I think, like, I saw this on Twitter, actually, that, you know, the kind of cut he makes is that the character, like, one of the characters, like, in his name. So it's like, "Watcha!" And then he's through a billboard, lands the car like a glove.
No, that was impressive, but when he's fucking careening downhill and asking the dog which one's the brake, it's not really helpful.
Because the dog hates Jigen.
Well, yeah, Jigen doesn't like the dog either, so.
No.
Jigen's really cranky. Like, he's like one of his orniest in this episode, where he's like, "Hey, I'm out of cigarettes." He keeps smoking most of the cigarette, throwing it out the window to continue his conversation. And he's like, Lupin, when you're going to Lou, get me fags. And then he kind of comes in, he's like, "These are menthols."
And he's like, "I bought you like anyway. 6 cartons of them to smoke them."
And even though he has a brand new carton of cigarettes, they always manage to look super soggy. What is he doing?
Maybe he's got like, you know, he over salivates. It's all kind of gooey.
Maybe that's why he has to throw them away before they're finished, yeah.
It's like, flavors are gone. Flavors are gone.
And it ends with a pretty good stunt.
Yeah, that's pretty classic.
Which is
you know, the lads are like, "What are you doing, Lupin? What are you doing, Lupin?" And Zenigata's like, "Lupin, what are you doing?" Kind of screaming it out the car. And you know exactly what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, because it's like, I can't remember what he asks about, but as soon as he asks about it, it's like, okay, yeah, he's just going to jump off that in the car.
And the kind of sideways shot of them like driving up to the hill to the cliff was like super cartoony. Mm. It was pretty great.
And yeah, talking of super cartoony, the very final shot.
You were expecting to just go wink, but it held back.
I'm sorry, it held back. I really wanted that dog to wink at the end, right at the camera. That would have been perfect. Yeah, it was fine. It basically did everything but wink at the camera at the end. Yeah, brilliant, fucking brilliant. Oh, also, there was a lot of like just weirdly awkward moments that you don't get to see him, like just Fujiko having to deal with a client, because she must have to do that all the time with people she's trying to screw out of money. Where she's just like, "I'll look at your photos of dogs. Do you ever take a picture of your dog outside?" It's like, "No, we don't go outside." She's like, "Okay, dealing with a crazy person." So it's just kind of like lots of little moments of their lives you generally don't get to see. Really nice.
Yeah, kind of using Fujiko as like as well as the proxy for the dog one. "This is my dog's favorite like spectrum. This is my dog's favorite thing." So you just do everything with your dog. Yeah, you have. As a close, you put a kind of poofy red hair. Do I remind you of the dog? Is that why? Yeah,
that's probably it.
Because all the dog wanted was to get away from this woman.
And to get hot ladies.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the sight of finding a dog licking a porno bag in a bush.
I'm glad the dog...
So many questions, but yeah.
I'm glad that she made it to shore after skipping from the bowl. I thought, in fact, a very small dog, the shore's very far away. There's no way that she'd make it. But she did. She's persevered.
Yep, might be my favorite episode so far. It's pretty great.
Yeah, good. This is good stuff. I've got to mention episode 12 is like the first Osamu Kobayashi directed episode out of anime in God knows how long.
Really?
Well,
so it's maybe.
Oh yeah.
Panty and stocking episode. His half episode, maybe. I don't know if he's done anything between that and this. I know he's doing on tours because I keep on seeing him, like doing international anime talks.
Hmm.
Which probably explains some of the dream. Probably brought him in for the dream sequence stuff.
Okay.
Would make sense in being on the episode. But yeah, I could. This is the one show because we know we've got six episodes. We're slowly catching up, but we're not going to catch up to the very final episodes. But I could easily just sit and watch them all.
I feel like I wouldn't enjoy, or I wouldn't be allowed to kind of savor them as much if I sat down and watched the whole thing. Even though, yeah, you could fucking easily do that.
It'd be extra decadent. I'd be watching them in the bath.
Karamatsu style, yeah.
Yeah, I realised, oh, I've got a tablet. Just put Crunchyroll on, sit the tablet over the other side of the bathroom. Mm.
And also, I've often been tempted to just know one. I want to watch something on TV that's good right now. I'm just probably looping the third part four. It's really good. If I overindulge past one, I'm meant to watch the podcast. So,
yeah, and it's like, well, there's like, I could watch all those other Lupins which are on Crunchyroll.
True, true. Or is there anything else in my queue which I've not got around to? It's watch some of these.
But it's so good, yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes out on home video, I shall purchase it.
It's in the bag.
Because at the moment, it's 16 episodes of greatness, so even if it goes off the boil.
Yeah, you still got like friggin' 50% of awesome. Yeah.
Righty ho. I think that wraps us all up. Are you back? Are you available, Niall, next week?
You betcha.
Hopefully we'll have an Anthony back. He's at his mother's birthday dinner.
Mother's birthday dinner and his mother's day on Sunday. So
that is true.
I guess we're rolled them both into one.
So, happy birthday to Mrs. Anthony's mother.
And happy Mother's Day as well.
To all
to her
mothers.
And all mothers in the world.
All mothers out there. And that ends this week's episode of Let's Go. Be back next week to hang once more with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Boy.
Toodle-oo.